8:15 now, Steve Geller joins us, WWL Sports Director. How you doing, Steve Geller?
Hanging in there, Tommy. How you doing today?
Yeah, that's all you can do. We've seen that script before play out, and unfortunately it played out Sunday in Atlanta. Let's start with injuries.
Yeah, that's been a major, you know, black mark on this team. All the injuries seem to be piling up now. We're just four games into the season, but so many key guys were banged up for that matchup, and one of them was Taysom Hill, who came back and played in the game in Atlanta, but couldn't finish it out after scoring two touchdowns. Dennis Allen did say it was a rib injury, but we do not know the extent of it, if they're fractured, what exactly is going on with Taysom. He wouldn't address that, the head coach, yesterday when he addressed the media, saying that the first injury report for this week will come out on Thursday because they are playing on Monday Night Football. So it's kind of a hold your breath and wait and see what the deal on Taysom Hill is. But some of the other guys, obviously, we know the offensive line's dealing with injury. Eric McCoy is on injured reserve. Cesar Ruiz dealing with a knee issue. He was out last game. We'll have to wait to find out his status going into this matchup against the Chiefs. On a bright note, at least the offensive line held together pretty well in that Atlanta game, considering that they were lacking two of their main guys, the two of their best guys on that roster, doing a patchwork job trying to fill things in there. But then you had a guy like Alvin Kamara, your star running back, dealing with hip and ribs. And some of the reports were saying that Alvin actually played with broken ribs in that game, which is pretty amazing. We'll find out more of his status, too, going forward. DeMario Davis, another big star name for your team, dealt with a hamstring issue. Missed the first game of his illustrious career. COVID kept him out of one, but this was because of injury this past week in Atlanta. We'll see if he's able to get back in action for the team. And then in-game, also, a guy like Tyrann Mathieu was dealing with some things, being banged up, and it just seemed a groin injury popped up for him in the game in Atlanta. We don't know anything more about his status going forward, too. So like I was saying, a lot of your top-tier names that are main key contributors are just hurting right now, and I think the Who Dat Nation, obviously, hurting right now after a fantastic 2-0 start and then dropping really two nail-biters back-to-back that, in all seriousness, you look at it and this team could be legitimately woulda, coulda, shoulda be 4-0 right now.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess I'm trying to just be realistic here. If you'd have looked at the schedule before the season and said, okay, I'll tell you what, you can be 2-2 right now, you'd have taken it, huh?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks' perception of the team was down going into the year. So, like you mentioned, 2-2 at this point doesn't seem like the world is ending. The sky is falling. It just kind of smacked you back into reality after that dream first start to the season where the Saints rolled over the Panthers and the Cowboys. And it just seemed like, obviously, Clint Kubiak in this offense was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell me about that. What is real? What's the illusion? Is it a combination of both? Because in the first 2 weeks, it might have been not necessarily an illusion, but real. But then you get your schemes on tape, and then defenses start to adjust to that. That factors into this?
I think, obviously, you know, team gets the tape on you, comes to be a factor. But the biggest one for me, and you hate to use, you know, obviously injuries as excuses, but I don't really know who is your depth behind Alvin Kamara. He's getting, I feel like, way overused in this offense. And the guy's looking for a new contract for this team, fighting every inch for your squad, looking to get paid this offseason. But like Jamal Williams, I'm really not clear on his role in the team. I figured he'd be your banger up close on that offensive line, being able to get those tough yards. It seems to be behind Kamara, it's Taysom Hill to get you that tough yardage. We are getting reports Kendre Miller could be coming off injured reserve this week, but Dennis Allen didn't want to speculate too far in advance with that either. Your wide receiver core, Chris Olave, dealing with a hamstring issue. I didn't mention him. Seemed to kind of re-aggravate that towards the end of last game against the Falcons, so that's going to be another concern going forward. And your lack of production, too, for me, from the tight end position. Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau haven't really been contributing that much. Once again, you look at it and you're like, well, Taysom Hill's the guy. Right now it looks like if Alvin and Taysom aren't out there, the struggles for this offense are a heck of a lot greater. And obviously, none of your starting all-pro center and an Eric McCoy hurts. I didn't think the communication or the line was that much of an issue. The last game, it'll be a heck of a lot different. I hate to say it. I can't believe I'm going to say it. Going against the Steve Spagnuolo defense in Kansas City.
Yep, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 504-260-1870. Any questions or comments? Talking to Steve Geller, WWL sports reporter. Saints taking on the Chiefs Monday night, 8:20. Traffic now, WWL. 8:25 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Steve Geller, WWL sports director. Talking about the Saints, the injury situation. Alvin Kamara, you know, back before the season started, there was a whole Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey comparison, durability, etc.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, Alvin Kamara was playing his rear end off with broken ribs and Christian McCaffrey's in Germany. Is there any, I don't know what's going on between Alvin Kamara and the Saints. Lord knows, I don't know what else you could ask of number 41 than what he's given you. Is there any, I guess, urgency on part of the Saints to get this done or on the part of Alvin Kamara? Where does that whole thing stand, Steve?
You know, Tommy, yeah, it doesn't seem to be any kind of urgency on the Saints' end of things. And right at the end of training camp, even Alvin was asked about it, you know, talk about his, you know, getting a new contract with the Saints. He's made it clear he wants to be here. He wants to stay in New Orleans. He loves this team, loves the city. And obviously, like you said, has done everything to show that he's willing to play through the nicks and bruises, and those are pretty extreme bruises too when you're saying that it's busted ribs. But he mentioned the fact that it's too late now. You know, he's going into this season. He doesn't want to deal with contract negotiations, him or his team, with the season going on right now. So I'm assuming there's not going to be any kind of negotiations between the front office and his agents until after the year. And it just seems I guess that 29-year-old running back, the team's concerned with, you know, doling out that money to. You mentioned a Christian McCaffrey right now. Shoot, we haven't seen him this entire season. It wasn't believed to be that serious of an injury. Now you mentioned he's in Germany, for crying out loud, getting a second, third assessment of what he's dealing with right now. And the San Francisco 49ers finding a way to move on without that. It's a tough situation for running backs in this league, trying to get paid. Especially when you get that 29-year mark, it just seems to be this wall that folks consider when the big drop-off seems to happen because of the use and abuse they go through.
Yeah, you know, I get this great movie, North Dallas 40, and I got a scene where a guy says, every time I say it's a business, you say it's a game. Every time I say it's a game, you say it's a business, right? And it seems like I understand that it's a business, but this guy is playing his heart out for you, giving you everything that he has, and it just seems like, man, I don't know. They need to take care of Alvin Kamara. I don't know what else you could ask out of a guy. Let's talk about the Saints' defense. What happened with Cam Jordan? Where's he at?
Yeah, Cam's usage has really been down this season. Unfortunately, you talk about good old father time is undefeated, and Cam just doesn't seem to have that burst anymore to be able to get out to the quarterback. There was hope that maybe this game, you know, reigniting some of those old fire against the Atlanta Falcons, where he's dominated and been able to obviously sack Matt Ryan a ton. Maybe a guy like Kirk Cousins, who is not mobile whatsoever, with concrete feet, you'd be able to get to. Cam's usage, though, his snaps are down along this D-line and has not really been a factor. I figure at least he's someone that could be a contributor in the run game without having that pass rush, you know, speed and burst quite the same anymore. But it was really surprising to see with that, you know, your guy like a Carl Granderson and a Chase Young, nobody really able to get after the Falcons quarterback, who I thought was going to be, you know, prime for the picking coming back from an Achilles surgery. And the Falcons O-line was dealing with injury issues of their own with no their starting center or tackle. Storm Norton was starting for them, a guy that was on the Saints practice squad a year ago. So it was something that you thought this team would take advantage of. But for whatever reason, the pass rush numbers as a whole really seem to have dipped the last couple of games. It looked like they were going to be a pretty good dominant force compared to last year in the early goings. But for whatever reason, they're not hitting home of late. And even just getting to the quarterback to create that pressure hasn't been there. I felt like Kirk Cousins, way too many times, he was poised back there too much time.
Agreed, totally agree. Here we are. We'll talk to you again before the Kansas City game on Monday night, but here we are, fourth of the season, just about already gone, man, flying by. October, and next up, Chiefs on Monday night. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tommy.
You bet. Pleasure as always. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the National Fried Chicken Festival. Right now, we pause for WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9. Now, Fried Chicken Festival started in 2016. And it has grown exponentially since then. It's a two-day outdoor festival that brings together hundreds of thousands of people from across the nation around a shared love of great food, fried chicken. You can't go wrong with that, right? Music and culture. Last fall, that festival attracted a record-breaking 123,000 attendees from across Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, and the entire United States to celebrate and enjoy the iconic Southern dish, earning the Fried Chicken Festival the number 6 spot on the USA Today 10 Best Readers' Choice Awards list of top specialty food festivals. It's back this year, Fried Chicken Festival 2024, with all the things that we love, and we're going to talk more about it right now with Ellie Schmidt, the Director of Event Marketing for the National Fried Chicken Festival. How you doing, Ellie?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I was just talking about how big the event got from 2016, moving up to number 6 on what, USA Today's list of festivals?
Yeah, we were super excited. We were ranked 6 out of 10 on their top 10 best specialty food festivals in the country this year. So really, really proud of that.
So let's start with, when is it and where is it?
Yeah, so it's going to be this weekend out on the lakefront. This will be our third year in that location, and we're really excited. People have really been loving it. I mean, you can't ask for a more, you know, scenic backdrop than the lake. So we'll be out there Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
So the lakefront's a pretty big place. You're talking about where at now?
Yeah, so we're actually at on Lakeshore Drive, right at the intersection of Franklin Avenue. It's right behind the UNO Lakefront Arena.
Okay.
So we'll have free parking at the UNO Lakefront Arena, and then people can just, you know, walk right across to the festival site.
I think that'd be where the Pope said Mass, isn't it? Same place?
Yes.
For reference purposes?
Yes. When we first activated in that space, it had been so long since there had ever been any kind of large-scale event there, and that was the first thing that people thought of. So, yeah, we're excited to kind of showcase how beautiful that area is and bring people out there.
Maybe that had something to do with the success. Tell me about what people can look forward to.
Yeah, so this year we're going to have over 40 participating restaurants serving all kinds of fried chicken, and not just fried chicken, but we're also going to have pescatarian options, vegan options, vegetarian options, gluten-free options. So, you know, we think everyone loves fried chicken, but there are a few here and there that don't. So, you know, no matter what you like to eat, we'll have something out there for everyone to enjoy. We've got a really great music lineup this year. We've got Bun B, Better Than Ezra, Shamar Allen, Teacher Moses, and then we had a performance with Choppa scheduled, but as y'all know, tragically, he got in a pretty serious accident last weekend. So we have some awesome artists who have kind of stepped up to fill in and do a Friends of Choppa showcase performance. That's going to be DJ Jubilee, Hot Boy Ronald, and a few others on Sunday evening.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. We're talking to Ellie Schmidt, Director of Event Marketing for the National Fried Chicken Festival. Happens this weekend, the 5th and the 6th. That would be behind UNO Lakefront Arena where, you know, years ago the Pope said Mass. If that helps you as a reference point, we'll talk more about it when we come back. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 8:54, 6 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about one of the best festivals that happens in the area, the Fried Chicken Festival, with Ellie Schmidt, Director of Event Marketing for the National Fried Chicken Festival. Happens October 5th, this Saturday and Sunday, out at the Lakefront Arena, where the Pope said Mass. Parking is where? At the Lakefront Arena grounds, Ellie?
Yep, we'll have free parking at the Lakefront Arena, and then anyone that wants to get dropped off or picked up via Uber or Lyft can get dropped off at the east entrance, and that's going to be on Lakeshore Drive.
Tell me about the ticketing options.
Yeah, so this year, I mean, we have a pretty affordable festival. We have a general admission ticket that's just $20 that gets you access to the festival. And then this year, we're also excited to kind of introduce some reimagined VIP offerings for those who are 21 and up. Mm-hmm. We have a multi-lounge VIP pass that will get you into both VIP lounges located at each of our music stages. That comes with three free drinks. That comes with an award-winning fried chicken meal from either Gus's or Chicken's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then we also have an unlimited beer garden area that's also another 21-plus option for those people that, you know, love beer. And, you know, if you want to bring the family, just get the regular GA ticket, and we'll have all kinds of stuff out there to do for the kiddos. We have a kids tent with story time with Disney characters, face painting, and all kinds of fun activities. So whether you want a day away from the kids or you want to bring them with you, we'll have something for everyone out there.
You also got some cars, right? Classic cars and bikes?
We do. We're excited to be bringing back our Car Corral showcase this year. So along the lakefront, along Lakeshore Drive, we'll have all kinds of custom cars, bikes from across the Gulf South on display for people to come check out as well.
Tell me about the awards.
Yeah, so this year we're introducing our first ever People's Choice Award. So this will be the first time that the public actually has an opportunity to vote on their favorites. We're excited that two of our vendors, Chicken's Kitchen and Picnic Provisions and Whiskey, they just made it to the final two of NOLA.com Best Fried Chicken in the City Award. So we're excited to settle that once and for all this weekend to see who really comes out on top. And then we'll have a Best Fried Chicken Sandwich Award, like an overall Best Fried Chicken Award, Best Use of Chicken in a Dish Award, and then we'll be presenting a Culinary Icon Award to a local chef as well.
So, for people that are listening and they're saying, Ellie, because, you know, that's your name, Ellie, how much difference can there be in fried chicken? You would tell them?
A whole lot. We have got fried chicken flavors from all over the world. This year, we're excited to introduce Lufu Nola. That's our first time we've had an Indian vendor. We'll be serving Indian fried chicken. But whether you like it spicy, whether you like it mild, you know, truly you'll be surprised at how many spins we can put on fried chicken when you come out there and start looking at all the menu boards. So,
and this started in Lafayette Park, did it not?
It did in 2016. That was the first one ever. And for those that were there, you might remember, I think we ran out of chicken very, very quickly. We were overwhelmed at the amount of success that first festival had and how many people really do love fried chicken in this city and kind of what it means to everyone and what it means to our food culture. So we expanded pretty rapidly the next year over at Waldenburg Park, and then we kind of outgrew that location as well. So this new venue out at the lakefront really gives us a lot more space. It's more scenic. It's easier to get there, you know, to park your car. So we've had a lot of good feedback from people since we made that switch a couple years ago.
And I don't know what's going to happen with the weather because I don't know if they know. Ellie, they talk about this stuff in the Gulf and they say, it might rain, might not rain, might develop, might not develop.
I know.
So either way, the festival goes on, rain or shine, correct?
We are rain or shine. We're obviously monitoring the weather very closely. And if it is something serious, you know, that's a call we'll make here in the next few days. But as of right now, everything is scheduled to go on as planned. So we're super excited to see everyone down there.
And real quick, what can you bring or not bring? I know you don't have time to run through everything, what's prohibited, but generally speaking.
Yeah, so no outside food or drink. That's a big one. No cash. The festival is fully cashless. You can bring, you know, strollers for your kids. You can bring backpacks. You know, you can bring all the standard festival stuff. No big tents, no large beach umbrellas, anything like that. But really, you know, just use common sense. But all that information and tickets are available on our website at friedchickenfestival.com.
And no pets other than service animals, correct?
No pets other than service animals. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ellie. Appreciate your time. Ellie Schmidt, Director of the Event Marketing for the National Fried Chicken Festival. All you have to do is go to friedchickenfestival.com. You can find out everything you need to know. We come back, we're going to talk about hurricanes and insurance and more here on WWL.